Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The great Ben Manis, where have you been?
I missed you. I've been having some personal issues at home and work and what have you. But, you know, I'm back on the horse, and it's really good to be back and, contribute to your show and contribute to the city at large. But do you want to get into the emergency management question you asked before about California, or do you want to just jump into beating up Larry?
We'd love to hear your take on the emergency management. This is your wheelhouse. So what do you say to this?
So look, don't get lost in the actual emergency. We got to focus on the emergency preparedness. The fact of the matter is the reservoir, the emergency reservoir that feeds the hydrants in the Palisades was empty. And why was it empty? Because they cut off the supply down from upstate California, Northern California, to get to that, whether it was for environmental reasons or what have you. But when you look at, you know, the fact that they could, you know, abdicate all they want, the truth of the matter is, why was the reservoir empty? And it wasn't a drought season. It was just empty. And by the way, they still haven't answered the fact that they haven't had any forest management in that state for 30, 40 years. When you have dead trees on the ground, they become a tinderbox. And if you don't control burn or cull them, this is what happens. So California really needs to answer some questions. And look, these roosters come home. I mean, you look at Michigan, about a decade ago, they had these massive floods in Detroit. They only affected Detroit, not all the good suburbs of Detroit. And everyone said, oh, my God, it was a once-in-a-thousand-year storm. Come to find out the pumping stations from the Great Lakes Water Authority were off that day. They just weren't being maintained. So, it's you not preparing. It isn't the disaster itself.
I'll just on an aside before we get to your latest Broad Liberty piece, Ben Manis, is that a relative of mine was telling me about how he used to work for John Deere. You think of John Deere, all that big, you know, great American-made equipment. And one of the big clients was these government contracts where they would sell to forest management groups, whether a lot of times they were government or they were farming out to somebody to serve these types of needs. And so I'll just say that the other layer of this is as these woke policies came into play, it also meant jobs as far as, you know, manufacturing jobs. And you know what I mean? There is that trickle down effect for American workers and American products.
Yeah, Biden, especially with this attack on the U.S. labor force, you know, John Deere is almost wholly made in America. Caterpillar has plants in China and America. But the funny thing is, when all this nonsense started, who it really helped was Mahindra in India. You've seen their tractors being bought left, right, and center because they don't have these entanglements. And they could sell a product that's, you know, comparable for cheaper because they're not being cramped down on by the government. So hopefully with the new regulatory framework from the Trump administration, that stuff will go away and it'll be more transparent. It'll help some jobs in this country.
Yeah, which is it's a win-win all the way around. Thanks for that. Hey, let's get back to your Broad and Liberty piece, Ben Manis, when you talk about what may spell trouble for Philadelphia's DA. So what do you see here, Ben?
What I see here are the fact that for the last 8 years, whether it be now Governor Shapiro or his replacement at the PA Attorney General's office, or the Biden appointee, Michelle Henry, she was at the AG, but the U.S. attorney in Philadelphia, the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, basically have looked the other way with Larry Krasner for if not 8 years now. And, you know, we've obviously reported a lot of his political and policy choices, which have led to skyrocketing murder rate in the city. But the fact of the matter is, you know, folks like Ralph Cipriano and I have been reporting, scandals, corrupt scandals, whether it's the fact that Mavita Johnson-Harrell, the state representative who was locked up for corruption, stealing from her own nonprofit, was brought back as a contractor to Krasner. So your taxpayers are paying for this felon to be in his administration. The fact that there's, you know, a guy who just got promoted to chief of county detectives who, while he was in a civilian role because he had a protection from abuse order in Montgomery County for a domestic violence issue, he pulled up. He was basically pulling people over in a city vehicle, showing his badge out of road rage. And he did it to an FBI agent, and they let him on a high-speed pursuit. And now this guy's chief of detectives for Larry Krasner. And my personal favorite, the fact that in both his elections, Larry Krasner has violated campaign finance law overtly, coordinating with George Soros and Alex Soros-funded PACs. And it's not just that he's violated those laws and paid the fines like a fix-it ticket, because in Philadelphia it's just a fine, not a crime like the feds. But, you know, he charged one of the PACs $30,000 of rent in one of his buildings. Wow. The building, coincidentally, that he owes $145,000 in PAC taxes and fees on. And look, that looks an awful lot like money laundering. So, you know, why hasn't the U.S. attorney looked into that despite all the reporting on it? Not to mention the $84 million in civil claims that he's cost the city for his, you know, his exonerations, quote unquote, when these folks come out of jail. One of them has already gone back in for murder.
Ironic. We just talked to Ralph Cipriano about that yesterday. He was bringing up that. So take me through, Ben, as far as how you think there's a difference now and a new sheriff in town, if you will. We have Dave Sunday. I've talked to him, interviewed him before and after the election, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania's new attorney general, who, yes, is a Republican, has, I suppose, a law and order approach, York County DA formerly. How do you think Dave Sunday makes a difference here?
So one-on-one, Dave Sunday is not conflicted like Michelle Henry or Josh Shapiro was. Why? Because Josh Shapiro took the same funds from the same Soros that lawyer Krasner did. And it was odd because there's been crazy workarounds like this, you know, additional prosecutor that, you know, Mike Untermyer, that's been appointed just for SEPTA areas and corridors to get around the fact that Larry Krasner's not prosecuting and doing his job. Well, the difference is Dave Sunday doesn't have the same stumbling block, and he isn't going for the same political voting block that Larry Krasner does. So he's, you know, able to address or at least investigate some of these really rampant allegations of corruption, if not the policy issues. That's what the impeachment was supposed to address. But I'm just talking about this really strange culture of corruption that's admitted from the Krasner administration that has been completely looked by, not only by the state, but the federal prosecutors. And then, of course, on the other side of the record, you have Donald Trump, who in his campaign pledged to, you know, investigate Soros DAs and appoint 100 U.S. attorneys out of main justice that will look at this rising crime in these cities directly correlated to or attributed to Soros DAs like Larry Krasner, who, thanks to George Gascon losing his election in L.A., is now the crown royal. He is the poster child for George Soros's, funding effort.
I will say, you know, for, you know, the piece about Governor Shapiro, that last summer we had Michael Untermyer. He was named that special prosecutor for SEPTA. I mean, I mm-hmm. think that the governor supported that. So there's like maybe a passive aggressive type thing going on here, because Krasner has fought that, and that has stuck. And so I do wonder if, you know, with Michael Untermyer, then you have Dave Sunday, then you have some new policies here. And now we hear on top of all of that, that in fact, Krasner might get a challenge. We've talked a lot about that, too, at primary.
Yeah, Judge Dugan. And look, Judge Dugan's a good man. And look, one would hope that the electoral process would take care of itself. But Carlos Vega and Beth Grossman were absolutely honest, good public servants, too, when faced with $1.7 million of illicit campaign funds. I mean, they're flaunting the fact that they're violating this law because Krasner will get up on that podium and say, well, I didn't, you know, it was a civil issue. It's only a civil issue because of the way the law is written here. And that's the bigger and broader issue, Dawn. Mm-hmm. The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has arcane laws that enable this type of local corruption. Versus like Florida, for example, when the Hillsborough, Tampa, and or Orange, Orlando County state's attorneys were acting a fool like Krasner is, DeSantis came in and just simply removed them because that's in their law. Can't do it here. So Shapiro's acting right now because he's worried about his legacy. He wants, he has eyes on national office. And, you know, it looks really bad when you've got, you know, a corrupt, bad actor DA causing a massive crime spike in your benchmark city, in your state. Okay, wonderful. But at the same time, you know, Krasner's, someone's got to wonder why no one's put the cuffs on this guy yet, or at least investigated him publicly.
Yeah, and perhaps that's one of the reasons that we're seeing locally here, and I think Dom Giordano broke the story sometime more than a week ago, that when the local Democrats met, they decided to not endorse, whether it's Judge Pat Dugan or whether it's D.A. Krasner, who's getting a challenge.
That
what's that?
Yeah, they did that before.
They did.
I mean, that's honestly the same with Local 98 when Dougherty was, you know, free and mm-hmm. not convicted. It's their big move is to go, well, this time we won't endorse. You know, grow a pair and, you know, stand up to your principles. Bob Brady hates Larry Krasner, and Larry Krasner represents a unique threat to Bob Brady. There's a very big difference. You know, I know we're both Republicans here, but there's a giant difference between a Kennedy Democrat, a Union Democrat, yes. a working Catholic Democrat, and a, you know, a person who is more aligned with socialism and just these ideologues who are tearing the framework of our society away.
Yeah.
And if Brady, you know, Brady's been resting on his laurels and collecting his illicit monies for years. So if Brady really wanted to step up, he'd, you know, he'd go out there and endorse Dugan, who he actually, you know, endorsed in prior judicial elections, who earned his place because he was an honest judge on the bench in municipal court. But, you know, God forbid we put politics aside and do what's right for the citizens of the city.
Speaking of which, because we haven't talked for a little bit, Ben Manis, what is your take on Mayor Sherelle Parker, her moves? She has said she wanted to clean up Kensington. We hear a lot about Kensington, the new wellness center, to get people... Stop. Let it go.
I had to.
Now, full disclosure, just because I know you've been away a little bit, Ben, full disclosure, my friend Anne-Marie, who went on our conservativetours.com, you know, the great last Italy trip.
I know her.
Yeah, Ben,
so you know,
Anne-Marie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know Anne-Marie. So
she's my chiropractor.
So, see, look at this incestuous world we live in. So she actually sent Dan, she texted like this video, and I think we were Isle of Capri. You were late, maybe some wine after lunch. I had a similar misspelling. I'm just saying, so I'm not, you notice I'm not being hard on the mayor. And actually, Dan says that now it's good luck to spell it E-L-G. I don't even know how she misspelled it, but we have, now that's good luck. You know what I mean? You can't, now we have to spell it that way.
The fact that she was a teacher. Yeah, that, I mean, that's the real insult. That she's, oh, I'm a teacher and I support the schools. You're not doing good enough.
Stop. Right?
Look, you want to talk about the crime? Let's talk about the crime.
And
so
Kensington.
A little peek into what I was doing when I wasn't writing was, you know, getting back in the game and trying to help some things. And I was on the election task force, you know, that you've had several people on the show. So I was driving lawyers around Kensington. Of course, because they gave me Kensington with one of the toughest ladies on the earth.
Because you're the big guy.
Exactly.
You know,
no one was going to mess with us.
Nobody's going to mess with Ben.
That said, Kensington, Hunting Park, Juliana, Harrogate, it hasn't gone away. It's just gotten off the corner of K&A because they've erected a ton of barricades and stuff like that. By pushing it around the corner, she's cosmetically made it a little better. But if you ask any of your callers who, you know, live in the River Ward and have to get on that train every morning, it is definitely not away. The library is still a disaster. They're still burning fires and living in tents around there. Here's the real deal. She, just like Kevin Bethel, need to get up there and use their bully pulpit and call out Krasner. Because you could keep moving them along and offering them treatment, but unless you actually start enforcing drug laws. You know, where every one of these wellness centers pops up, or every one of these outreach clinics or homeless shelters pops up, somebody in the street corner pharmaceutical game is going to be on that corner, catering to that population. And unless we're putting those people in prison for violating the narcotics laws, it will persist. You can move them around. Look, I came from New York when Times Square was still Times Square. You could move them from one corner to the other all you want. It is not going to change unless you actually start doing what Rudy Giuliani did in 1994 and start putting people in jail.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about it is, I will say this, because you talk about the personalities a lot. You just talked about Congressman Brady, who, I mean, everybody in Philadelphia is like a household name. But I will say this, too, that it's important to have some symmetry with, I think, Mayor Parker. The reason she won, I saw that from the beginning. She was our representative because I live in the northwest side of Philadelphia, and I just felt like she was the most pro-police, even over David O. She supported Stop and Frisk. And so I think that's a piece of it. She's not woke. She's just not. But I think there's she and Commissioner Bethel, and I think that might also spell more trouble for Krasner, because people want the DA's office, the police commissioner, the mayor's office to have some level of symmetry. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to peek behind the curtain, Mayor Parker and Commissioner Bethel do not like Larry Krasner, do not like his administration, want nothing to do with him. Now, that's in private. The problem is, and I will disagree with you a little more, you know, Sherelle Parker is scared politically of Krasner's base and Krasner's money and doesn't want people to, you know, turn against her. So even though you say she's... She's pro-cop. Oh, well, yeah, she's pro-cop, but she was one of the only people not to go to the FOP to seek an endorsement. She wouldn't be seen in the building. Sorry. That tells me all I need to know.
Well, I mean, I will say that she had Helen Gim. All I'm saying is, thank God it's not Helen Gim. Yeah. That's my, you know what I mean? In a world of rock, paper, scissors, I'm just saying.
The two entrepreneurs, you know, canceled themselves out.
Yeah.
They closed each other's votes. So, look, is she the worst case scenario? 100% not. I mean, I think she could do the job. But she's got this white elephant in the room, and she goes on these press conferences and sits behind him and makes faces, and that's all well and good. But, you know, take a page out of, bigger cities and our federal, you know, politics right now, and step up and grab yours and say something.
Yes.
And until you do, you're going to be allied with that individual because you come from the same political party as that individual.
So I just looked you up to see your IMDb. You were in Minority Report with Tom Cruise.
I wasn't in it. I was the Minority Report, surprisingly, was shot in D.C. And I was on the Civil Service Unit. They hire police to do basically all the prop coordination and the set security. Because in D.C. at the time, they had that illegal gun law. So, you know, when the guns used in the movie have to be brought to the police by police to and from the set every day. So, I got to know Tom Cruise, Max von Sydow, Steven Spielberg.
Cool.
Yeah. Max von Sydow is the greatest guy in the world because all we did was talk about Strange Brew. Tom Cruise, not such a nice guy.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Oh, kind of want to dig into that.
Huh? Yeah. Well, maybe he's like all business. I don't know.
I could see that.
Wow.
Yeah,
because you're so tall. Yeah, you're the big guy. If it were here's the thing. Not to be mean or like, I shouldn't even say this, but he would love Zioli. Do you know what I mean? Because
such insulting to Zioli.
Rich, Rich is, I'm in so much because you know I love Rich Zioli, but he would love. Because Rich is, because you're like 6'6" or something, and Zioli's like the average. I better get out. I put my foot in my mouth.
Uh-oh.
Mama Zioli's going to have me. Now be nice, she's going to say.
No, but Rich is a nice short guy.
Yes,
you know, that's the difference.
This is true.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to be a short guy who literally, I mean, could fund an army. And you're an action star. But, you know, it is what it is. I did West Wing. I did, you know, a bunch.
Cool.
I had this shtick where I would, you know, if I was working with a celebrity, I'd find the most obscure thing I could find in their IMDb and watch it and then tell them I loved that. So when I was working with Billy D. Williams, I went up to him and I went, "Love you, Nighthawks." And he gave me a look like, no one has told me that since 1981. Where the hell have you been?
Well, listen, Ben Manish, we'll continue. We're glad you're back. And thank you for stopping in, explaining this from your, obviously, from your expertise, from Tom Cruise to PHT. Here we are. Ben, thank you. I'm glad you're back.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.